Welcome to Our Sleeve Life podcast, hosted by Kelly and Mel, two lifelong friends who took control of their lives by having gastric sleeve surgery 5 years apart. This podcast is really for you, our listeners, whether you're pre-op, post-op, maintaining, being a support person, or maybe none of these. But this is your podcast. Now it's time for the show. Welcome to Our Sleeve Life podcast. This is Melanie.
And Kelly.
And this is a podcast for patients by patients. And today we're going to be talking about all things of post-op. Where we left off last time was literally going to sleep.
Yeah.
So now it's wake up time.
Yeah. And which is a blink of an eye.
Mm-hmm.
You wake up. And what was the first thing you remember?
Dry mouth. Dry mouth was the number one thing.
So you can't drink water for 24 hours after surgery.
It's a big deal because I love me some water.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows this. I'm the queen of water. So it was a problem because that stupid sponge thing when you suck on it. It was so frustrating.
It was because you didn't get enough.
I was never satisfied enough. I was like, God damn it. I want some more.
Yep.
So, and like the ice chips, like that took, I don't think they gave me that until like that morning after.
Yeah. I never had any ice chips. It was purely just that little sponge thing that you could get your dry mouth at least tolerable.
And your lips. I needed chapstick.
Mm.
Like, I was already a chapstick user, but I felt like I was using it a lot more.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Afterwards. Well, yeah.
So dry mouth and needing chapstick and then the sponge. It was just an awkward mess.
It was an awkward mess. Yeah.
And then I'm just dopey.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very dopey.
Yeah. I just can just remember those gas pains. So they fill your chest with gas.
No.
So that they have a clear path, I guess, to see.
Oh, because they like they're opening you up, like because your ribs and everything move up, so they can just
exactly
your lungs, like they're trying to.
Yep.
See.
And
I could be wrong, but I think that's what it's going.
I think that's what it's for. Yeah. We might have to do some research on that one. Yeah. and I just remember getting back to my room and immediately wanting to walk because that was because that was something that I read about was if you have gas pains, just walk.
Oh, yes. I did hear the same thing. Yeah.
So that's all I wanted to do because the gas pains just hit me and I'm used to a lot of pain. I have lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, fibromyalgia, you name it. I've probably felt that pain.
Yeah.
But this is just such a weird pain.
Hmm. So it's so different than all the other pains you've had before.
Sure. And it was just, I guess I wasn't prepared for it, even though I knew it was going to happen.
Yeah. But you can't prepare for the feeling part.
No,
so
not at
was
all.
It like a, was it like a pressure?
Or it was more of like a pressure.
A pokey.
Yeah. It was more of a pressure. And I was used to sharp pains.
Okay.
So I think that's why it was so different. But yeah, I was like, can I get up and walk? And she was like, well, let's get you all hooked up with your pain meds and everything. And then if you're feeling okay, you can walk. And I was like, bouncing. I'm like, can I go walk now? Like, I just want to go walk. And she's like, I was like immediately energized. And she was like, well, I guess if you really want to, you can, but just make sure that your husband's right next to you. Just in case
I would
you
be
get
concerned
dizzy.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah. And no, I walked laps around that hospital
that's awesome.
Floor. Like probably every half hour I was up walking at least 4 or 5 laps.
Wow.
Yeah. And that was crazy for me. And it took me, so I had chronic hip pain.
Okay.
Where it was hard for me to stand for more than 5 minutes at a time without constant pain or constant pain medication. And it took me the third or fourth time that I had gotten up to realize that my pain was gone.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, this is kind of weird, but I'm going to roll with it. So, and it was the first time I hadn't felt hip pain in probably four, maybe 5 years.
Oh, that's insane.
So it was, but I think I was still so doped up too that it didn't really click in my brain that that's what was going on.
Yeah.
Or I would have been way more emotional, I think. But yeah, I just remember walking.
That's so different than mine.
Yeah.
So different. Well, what we've realized
So your surgery was a little bit different than mine.
Yes.
So we need to kind of back up a little bit to where 5 years ago, it was still the same surgery.
Yes.
So the whole, like, there's, it's just your stomach's like a 1 ounce, right? Basically, yeah, is what exactly. It is. So, but the way that they go in is differently.
Yes.
At least of what it seems like for our situations. Because when I came out of surgery, I was in some pain.
Yes.
After the, everything was like wore off. And it was like, it was weird pain. It was like, it wasn't pressure pain. It wasn't like my
was
brother,
it sharp?
My brother had gas pains. It was like a soreness inside of me. Mm. And it was very odd when I moved. I could feel soreness moving.
Okay.
It was like when you have a bruise in your arm and someone grazes it and mm-hmm. you can feel it.
Yeah.
It's like a little dull pain here and there. And you're like, what is going on?
Mm-hmm.
But I figured out what was going on is like, the way that they had to go in with me was like the top of your stomach. Your liver actually covers your stomach.
Yes. So, which is the reason for the 2 week liquid diet is to shrink your liver so that they can access your stomach so much easier.
So here's the deal is I had the 24 hours.
Yes.
So my liver did not change in any shape or form.
Yeah.
So they actually had to do a liver retractor. They had to like open me up more and then move my liver out of the way to get to my stomach. And then you actually take a sample from your liver to check it for things in your stomach, which is cool. I didn't know that until they're like, hey, your stuff came back good. And I was like,
you're like,
didn't know you're testing me.
What's it aware?
It's like when you have a baby and they test you for HIV and AIDS and you're like, they like point at it. Like they don't actually like say it out loud. They won't say positive or negative. And I was like, oh, that's good. Yeah. And she's like, well, I can't say it out loud. And I was like, oh, what? That's stupid. Like, I don't have it. Great news.
You're like, you can talk about it.
You're like, thank you for telling me.
Yeah.
It's fine. But yeah, same thing. Like, it was just different. Like, my liver was just a little, I guess it was just bigger because it's a fatty liver is what the deal is.
Okay.
So, what I was feeling was that since she had to move my organs a little bit, they got bruised. And so what I'm feeling is like the movement and my stomach was so close to my liver, like it's supposed to be. It's just I had a big stomach. So, like, I think all of a sudden now I'm on this liquid diet. Because now it swapped for me. I did 4 weeks of liquid diet after.
That's right.
So, you did. That was, like, the biggest deal is, like, now my liver is shrinking and my stomach is not in the same place as it's ever been.
Mm-hmm.
So I was feeling it move a little bit and it was fucking really weird.
That is weird.
It freaked me out.
I can't imagine.
I couldn't sleep on my stomach. When I would walk, I could feel, like, sore pain. I'm just, like, that's the reason why I was so nervous about, like, popping a stitch. Was because I was, like, I feel so sore.
Yeah.
And I don't want to pop a stitch. I hope I don't pop a stitch.
It's so different.
So, it's, like, was super different. Because you're, like, I want to get up and move. And I'm, like, this fucking hurts.
Yeah. And mine was done laparoscopically.
Yeah.
So, really, I mean, my incisions were way smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't hurt.
Really didn't hurt?
I mean, they hurt.
The top left one was the one that hurt the most.
Mine was more my belly button because my surgeon actually goes into your belly button and does the incision through your belly button so that it doesn't show.
I have a mark above my belly button.
Yeah, which I had my gallbladder removed. And so it was basically the same stitches.
Oh, gotcha.
Or the same
area.
Incisions.
Oh, wow.
Okay. She just used the same lines. So I didn't scar twice as bad.
Nice.
Very nice of her. I was appreciative of that. But I guess I didn't realize that she went like inside your belly button.
That's crazy.
To do that. Yeah. And so.
So you know, ours is different than.
Yeah. It's completely. Yeah. It was really.
So the technique is different.
Yeah.
So that's probably why like you're not sore.
Mm-hmm.
You want to just go.
I was, but it wasn't like anything that I would keep me down, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I was tired. I got tired easily.
Mm-hmm.
But you just went through a kind of a big surgery. So that definitely. It makes sense that you would be tired and,
I was tired. Like, I would say I was down for a couple days. And then, like, I don't know. I'm also, like, a true fat person. I've been fat all my life. So just so you get tired a lot easier, you get used to
it. I am apparently a fake fat person, FYI.
No, you just know what it's like to be skinny first.
True.
So it's we have an episode about that because that's a whole different ballgame. But yeah, like that's the thing. So I was like, wow, I'm just tired all the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, within 3 days, I was like, I would say like day two, I was moving a lot more.
Okay.
But like I still felt it. I just, because the doctor said you better get up, get moving.
Yeah.
The best thing for you is to move. So that's what I would do. But I had like a panic attack after 2 weeks, though. That was my first one. One of my first panic attacks.
Yeah. And where were you at?
Albertsons. So stupid. No, but actually, that's not my very first panic attack. I had one prior in a bar because there were just too many people. And then that's when I realized I get anxious around a lot of people.
Yeah.
But no, Albertsons was weird because I just felt like everybody's looking at me.
Oh.
And then, like, I kept feeling the pain when I was walking anyway because this is 2 weeks after.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like, I was, like, going down the aisle and I just couldn't figure out what to buy.
Yeah.
So that was a struggle. And I was like, I don't know what to do. And Eric's like, all this, like, what do you feel like eating? And I was like, I don't know. I don't think I can have really anything. It's like, well, what smoothies do you want? Like, because we're in front of, like, the protein, like, the drinks and stuff.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know. I just could not, like, make an answer. Mm-hmm. He's like, are you okay? And I was like, no. And he's like, I can tell we need to get out of here, like, now.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. So, like, we just did a self-checkout real quick and then went home. He's like, what is going on? That's you've never been like that at a store before. I'm like, dude, I have no idea. It was just like, I felt like everybody was staring at me and I can't make a decision and I didn't know what to do. And I was just like, I don't know what to, like, drink. I'm like, I just want to, can you grab it? Like,
yeah. Can you just make the choice for me right now?
I don't want to do this right now.
Exactly. So,
and, like, Grandma Charlotte was there, and she wanted to do, like, a shop, and I was just like, I can't be in the store this long. And Grandma Charlotte, I love her to death, but, like, she was an older woman, and she was going to, like, she's going to go down every aisle. Like, this is, like, I was not prepared for that.
Yeah.
I was not ready for that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, once I went home and, like, kind of chilled off, I realized what was going on, and I was able to go to work in, like, the next week. And
better equipped with the feelings of being out in the real world for the first time.
Well, it's lame because I'm a pretty outgoing person, but like,
you are, yeah.
That was like the first time I felt like panicked in front of a bunch of people.
Yeah.
So
now you went back to work at 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how was that?
It was actually fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very supportive people there. Like, it was the Department of Revenue in Oregon, and they were very, very kind people, and they were cheering me on.
Yeah.
The whole time. And they're very proud of me that I would only drink certain things and I would like go on walks on every lunch and break.
Aww.
And they'd go with me.
Which is even better to have that support system.
Yeah. Like, I had a few girls that like were really helpful. And they're just like, they're just so happy that I was like on it. Like, they've experienced too many people that have done this surgery and within months are already eating bad things.
Mm.
And which is appalling, not appalling, I would just say just shock for me. Because after going through, I'm like, how would you even be eating something like that within 3 months? Like, that would be really painful.
Yeah.
That's really confusing to me. Like, how the hell did you do that? Like, I guess props to you. You were able to push it down. But fuck, that's like so much pain.
Yeah, no.
And so they were just really happy that, like, I was really diligent. Like, once I was released to, like, work out and do things, I did that. Like, once I was released to like soft foods, because they watched me drink liquid. I did that for a full week there. And I had like these little Dixie cups, because with my surgery, they wanted me to have like equal parts of water versus protein.
Okay.
Or protein drinks. For a while, I'd have to like drink protein for like the first 30 minutes. And then I'd have to, like, wait the 15 minutes, and then I can have some water, and then I have to go back and forth.
Wow.
And so, like, prepping that at work is very annoying.
Yeah.
So I had these little Dixie cups I would fill up for every cycle of whatever I could drink at that point.
Yeah.
And then I went on to soft foods and had, like, which is after 4 weeks. I think my first was, like, cottage cheese or something, which...
For soft foods?
I think so. It was, like, beans and cottage cheese.
Beans and cottage cheese.
They didn't go together.
Okay, separate meals. I was going to say, that sounds pretty disgusting, personally.
No, my first soft foods, I think, was beans.
Beans and cheese, because we were the same on that.
Yeah.
That was my first, like, real food that I had. And I was so excited to eat that beans and cheese. Oh, my goodness.
It's so lame, but it's so good.
It's so good. And then after that first one, I could not really eat it for a while. I was like...
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if it just... didn't sit well. Hmm. I mean, it's hard because right after surgery, you're not sure what you like.
Oh,
because
that's true.
Your taste buds change after surgery, which is a weird thing.
Which I was not told that was going to happen.
I was told, yeah. So
that's some bullshit. I wasn't even prepared.
Yeah, but you had a different pre-op.
I did. And it was 5 years ago. So yeah. Things are a lot different.
Yeah. Now they know that your taste buds change and there are foods that you have eaten your entire life that after surgery you can't eat because your body just doesn't tolerate it anymore. So yeah, that's why it changes so
I do like
much.
A lot more stuff now than I ever have.
Yeah.
So
I'm trying to
I still love beans and cheese though.
I do like beans and cheese now.
We just had it earlier.
Yes, we did. We had tacos out. And, I feel like we should have a podcast just about food because we could probably talk about that.
Probably. There might be an episode.
So you did 4 weeks of liquid diet after surgery.
Correct.
And then how long was your soft foods?
It was like 2 to 4. They said like just 2 for sure.
Okay.
And then slowly introduce like eggs.
Okay.
Because eggs was not a soft food for me.
Oh, really?
It would get caught.
Huh.
It would like, it's like the olives. Same thing.
Yeah.
You eat it, you swallow it, all of a sudden you're fucking full. And you're like, you bitch.
And
like,
avocado.
That's avocado for you?
Yep.
Yeah. See, not for me. I can eat avocado all day, but.
If I have like guacamole, I'm fine.
Is it just the chunks?
It's just the chunks.
Yeah.
If I eat avocado just plain, so like I'll order it on like eggs or something.
Oh, right.
I get full so fast and I'm like, oh god damn you avocado,
because you're like,
but
I want
so delicious.
Yes, it tastes so good, but I want so much more of you.
And exactly.
And it's frustrating because you know you can have it, so you're like, oh, I'm gonna have to wait fucking 5 more minutes. Like you start like,
yep.
Did you have a timer? Because I had timers.
I did have timers for everything. And then it started getting annoying. So then I just stopped them all because I just couldn't.
It didn't stop. But there is a reason for that, because I would say 3 months post-op, I started smoking weed again.
Mm-hmm.
So I got nervous about the munchie thing.
Mm.
So I would put timers.
Which makes sense.
So it's still, which I think the weed kind of helped me focus in on it because it was like, I was diligent. It was like 15 minutes solid.
That's funny. Like,
you have to wait 15 more minutes. And then like, I would be like, okay, it's 8 o'clock. I can't have anything else until like 9 o'clock. So I just got to wait the time.
Yeah.
So I would like time out my meals and it would always be like the normal small stuff, but I would time it out now because with weed, your time flux is very interesting. It can be really slow.
Yeah.
Or really quick. So there's not really much in between there. So you're just like, okay, got to keep checking this.
Yeah.
Because I want to be able to, one, I need to get my protein in. So that's the thing. Like I did write down all of the, because you did all like the posting of like your weights this week, that week, measurements. Yep. I didn't do any of that. So
that's right.
But what I did do is I wrote down everything I ate though.
Oh, okay. So you were diligent on that.
I was like crazy about how much protein I was getting and water and all that. Like I wanted it to the number almost.
Which is great though, because you were fully aware of what you were bringing into your body.
Correct. Yeah. And that's my like math brain and I get it. And like, I get a little nerdy with it. So that was
nothing wrong with
that. Was my thing. I was like, this is the only way I can keep track of it.
Yeah.
And numbers make sense to me. So sense to me. So right after 3 months, I was like, on top of the intake of every little thing. So that's why I get on you about it. I think a little bit more than maybe I should, but it's like, it's like, dude, come on, this is not a game. Because they went kind of like the number-wise ways, is I went more scientific. I went and read a bunch of journals, read a bunch of doctor, like nutritionists and surgeons and like people that are in this world.
Yeah.
And like, once I realized, oh, it's just a numbers game. Mm-hmm. All I have to do is put these amount of numbers in my body and then the shit works.
Yeah.
So I don't know why we fight the doctors so much about what we should do to get ourselves healthy. Like every time someone's like, you need to lose 20 pounds. They're like, hey, can you give me something else to do instead of that? And it's like, no, just lose the 20 pounds. Like, that's one thing that changed with me with instantly from the surgery. It's like I was awake to everything now.
Yeah.
Hyper aware of everything. And now I'm like, okay, we got to take care of this body. Because you only get one, and the doctors seem to be knowing what to do. So just going to listen to them.
Yeah.
So
most definitely. I think with being hyper aware, I think once you take food out of the equation, it gives your brain so much more to think about.
Yeah.
And not that you're not thinking about food, because of course you are.
Mm-hmm.
But especially in the beginning, you're only given one choice.
It's freeing.
Yep.
Yeah.
You have to make any decisions. You know that, what am I going to have for breakfast? A protein shake. Mm-hmm. What am I going to have lunch? a protein shake. So yeah, it becomes monotonous, but it's also
so nice not to make a goddamn decision.
Yeah.
I don't know about anybody else. Like, I make decisions all day long, and sometimes I'm just like, can someone just make one for me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and this one's so much easier. Like, oh, like you said, like, I just have to have these things, and it makes, yeah. and I'm still awake, and I still have energy, and I still feel good. Okay. Yeah. I guess I'm going to do that.
Exactly.
Like, we all know that the protein shakes start sucking so bad.
Oh.
And I don't know about you, but everything, like, gets either too warm or too cold for food-wise, because your protein shakes, you want cold. You do not want those fucking warm.
No,
those
they're disgusting. Yeah. No.
Fucking awful.
Yep.
And then you want, you know, you want to have a steak eventually, but that's going to get cold.
It is. And
it's going to get cold real quick from what you can do.
Yep.
So the protein shakes would get warm, and I'd get, like, I can't even smell them anymore. Like, the ones that are pre-made, like the isopures and all those other ones we tried.
Yeah.
I feel bad that I can't name the other ones, because
Premier or what's the?
I don't want to just knock on isopure.
Ensure has one.
Yeah,
there's so many out there.
I think it's the Premier one that we use the most.
Yeah,
the one with the red label.
Yep.
Okay.
That's Premier.
Yeah. So like they were great. Like they were great used in the beginning, because you can only have so much chocolate or vanilla.
Yep.
And I don't like peanut butter. I know you do, because you...
Yeah, I would drink the peanut butter ones. Right. Yeah.
So I couldn't handle those. I was like, oh, no.
Right after surgery, though, I hate vanilla.
Okay.
I hate it. I think it's disgusting. And now let me say that I used to think it's disgusting. I woke up from surgery and had, like, once I got home and everything, I had a chocolate shake. That's my go-to flavor. And it tasted so metallic-y. Like, I could not stomach the thing.
Oh, no.
And so Cody actually had to go to GNC and buy vanilla protein shake, because we didn't have it in the house, because I didn't drink it. He didn't drink it.
Yeah, he didn't assume you would like it.
Yep, exactly. And so then I switched to vanilla, and it was totally fine.
How funny.
Yeah, it was so weird. Huh. So weird.
So that's one of the taste bud things.
Yep. Exactly. I think eventually I got back into chocolate. I think it was probably week 2.
Oh, really? Not too long then.
No. I think it was just at the beginning. And like even then it was still a little metallic-y, but I think my brain was so trained that chocolate was my go-to that I kept trying to make it work.
Like, no, we're going to make this work.
Yeah, right. I like you. 30 days post-op was when I could start having caffeine again.
And that's a big thing for you, huh?
It is a very big thing.
I was trying to figure that out when you were going through this. I was like, why is she caring so much about that caffeine? Like,
I love my coffee.
Okay. Well, I do realize that now. But in my head, I was like, you weren't going to understand how great you're going to feel. So in my head, I was like, oh, you don't even realize how much energy you're going to have when they say that you can have it. You might not even want it. And then why introduce it was my thing. But
that was Cody's thought
as well.
It was literally on day 30. I was like, I'm having caffeine. It's day 30. And Cody was like, but you've gone 30 days without it. So why wouldn't you just keep going? And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? It is coffee we're talking about. So I didn't actually word it like that, but I just looked at him like he was crazy.
Yeah.
And I walked up to the Keurig and made a cup of coffee and drank it, and it was glorious. But my whole point of this was I do iced espresso and then pour my protein shake over the top.
That's right.
Which is great for the summertime. Not so much for the wintertime,
because
you're freezing all the time.
Oh, okay. That's right. That's right. That's right. We had this conversation.
Yeah. But I mean, that worked great all summer. I was getting in a ton of protein because I used Fairlife milk, and then I had my protein. And so it was like 35 grams of protein.
Yeah, that's
just
solid in the morning.
Yeah.
I felt great having protein shakes like that in the morning.
Yeah. And so I'm like, I can't wait for it to be warm again so I can do it, because I just cannot do it hot.
I know. I know. And I get it, because like right now, so I couldn't do the regular shakes anymore, the pre-made. I had to make my own. So I figured out my own, and I drank that for 2 years, which actually I'm back on now.
Yeah, because you did great on it.
Yeah, I loved it. And you know what? It tastes great. Yeah. It's so simple. So if anybody wants it, it's literally just a cup of ice and a cup and a half of strawberries And then like you just fill up a little bit with Fairlife milk, like enough for the actual to get the highest protein on it.
Yeah.
For whatever that serving size is.
I think it's like a cup.
Is it a cup? Yeah, I think that they're all one parts of cups.
I think they're
is what we do. And then it's just like plain no fat Greek yogurt.
Oh.
Just put it in there.
I'm like a few spoons.
And you just spin it. And it's delicious. Like, even one of the guys at work, like what we do at lunchtime, he comes and grabs me. He's like, can we make shakes now?
Aww.
Because like he buys the strawberries and the yogurt for me.
Oh.
And then I provide the protein milk and the protein powder.
Oh.
And I obviously make it and show him how to do it.
Yeah.
So.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I mean,
I didn't realize it was that easy.
Super easy.
I may have to try that.
Let's do it. And that's the problem I'm having now because it's cold. And I'm like,
oh, exactly.
I don't want it, but like I have to have it. And so I'll do tea right after. So after last week, when you gave me the tea, the hot tea, I realized, I should just have tea more.
Yeah.
And then I went online and checked with intermittent fasting, I can have tea.
Yeah, because it is a clear liquid.
Yeah, so it's totally fine. Yeah. I was worried about that. Mm-hmm. And then I checked on my vitamins too because like that's actually helped me. I thought that I couldn't take them before I started my intermittent fasting because certain medications do. It can like boost your metabolism and all. That's what you don't want, that you don't want it to do anything.
Yeah.
So you don't want to activate anything. So that's the deal. So I read that I can do both and I feel better in the mornings now. So
good.
I take my vitamins right when I get up and then I have my tea around like 11 in the morning-ish.
Huh.
And I didn't do that before. And now that I do, I feel a lot better.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I've just been doing that for 2 weeks now. And I've been working out consistently. Yeah, so I feel like that's helping too. So
working out always, or getting that like boost in your energy just from moving,
mm-hmm, is a big deal.
Like whether you're in your gym, mm-hmm, or at a high level of activity job.
Yeah.
You get that kind of like energized feeling, or at least that was my experience.
I think so.
And which is so funny. It's just weird because I was never active before and I always felt sluggish.
Yep. Well, that's why.
Yeah.
They go hand in hand.
Yeah. But I didn't even realize.
Not at the time when you're in it. It's like a big cloud.
Yeah. And I think physically I couldn't move.
Yeah.
So I think that made it even harder. But then knowing like directly waking up from surgery, I just felt better. Like, and then once I could start moving, it would just kept getting better.
Yeah. And then you not having your pain has to be like a fork of feeling.
Like, and I still have my pain days. Like, I will always have pain days.
That's just what it is. You have these diseases, they're going to have reactions. There's nothing you can do about it.
Well, and winter makes it rough.
Mm-hmm.
But I can just get over them quicker.
Like, that's good.
It's like
your recovery rate quicker.
And I think it's because my body is, I mean, I'm 115 pounds lighter.
Hmm.
And that right there says a lot.
It's a lot.
But even when I was 40 pounds lighter, 50 pounds lighter, it was automatically such a huge difference,
mm-hmm,
in how my body reacted to even little things. Like just walking around the store.
Mm-hmm.
Like, or getting up and being like, I want to go out and walk down the street.
Yeah, you have
like, and I can.
This weird boost of energy that you didn't, mm-hmm, realize you had before.
Exactly.
And I think going back to the fact of not realizing like the food thing, like the, mm-hmm, food is causing you to feel tired.
Yeah.
But you don't know that until after all this process.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, duh. Like I'm not eating this crap, so I don't feel like crap anymore.
Well, you're detoxing. The whole first, I mean, whether you had your 4 weeks after surgery, mm-hmm, or I had my 4 weeks pre-op and post-op.
Right.
I mean, you're basically clearing out your system.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing in your system anymore that is carb loaded or sugar or any of that.
Right.
So you're automatically going to feel better because you're not taking in all that crap.
Yeah. All that stuff you didn't realize it was actually causing the fog.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, until it was gone.
Yeah. Because carbs definitely, for me at least, cause a huge fog. And I can tell like having a heavier carb day for me is like 25 grams of carbs.
Yeah, you really, really, really restrict yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
I do not want to go backwards.
Right.
So, but if I hit close to that 25 gram mark, I feel it.
Really?
Like, yeah.
Okay.
I feel sluggish versus if I only have 10 grams, I feel better.
Yeah, but what did the doctor tell you?
Well, she said everybody's different. And she said there is no right answer for carbs. But
for you,
in a normal person, mm-hmm. it's usually about 100 grams of carbs
That's
a
what
day.
I thought. Yeah.
Which I'm nowhere near. Ready no. to take that on.
No.
But
no.
I feel like that's
I think
okay.
you could up it to 50.
I'm getting there.
Yeah.
I'm slowly upping it. Yeah. I'm getting... I'm coming to grips with it.
Well, only reason why, because some of those... The meat that you're eating, they're really good for you, has carbs in it. So it sucks that it's taking up some yes. of that carb intake that you're restricting yourself for because you're afraid of, like, the bad carbs.
Yeah.
And so that's the... You could actually go on and do the macros and stuff.
Yeah, I've been wanting to look into that.
That will actually just help you divide it.
The macronutrients. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So just get that app and they'll get you all figured out for what you need.
Okay.
So.
I'll download it. I'll keep you guys updated on what I think.
Very, very nice.
So now your liquid,
mm-hmm.
your water after eating and before eating was 15 minutes, right?
It was like 30 minutes before, but 15 minutes after.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So, and mine was 30 minutes before, 30 minutes after, which, if anybody's wondering, is the longest time ever.
You guys know our pain.
Yes. 30 minutes. It's like, it takes forever.
I would imagine, because I thought 15 took forever, so I cannot imagine what 30 is like.
Oh.
I'd have my time around 15.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Mm-mm. Nope. And to this day, I still try to stick to that pretty closely.
Yeah. Well, and learning how to like sip is a deal.
Man.
Can't use a straw.
That's sipping.
I had to graduate to a straw.
So did I.
Yeah. It's really annoying.
I still don't do super well with a straw.
Like, how long did it take you?
I think I was like 3 months post-op before I attempted it, and it hurt. The first time.
What's funny is actually my doctor released me for it because she's like, you really just want to use a straw. And I was like, yes, I do.
I feel like sometimes, though, once you get it down, you can control better.
I know how much I need to suck. It's fine. I got this. I know how much is an ounce is when I need to make sure it's an ounce. Like, I got it.
Yeah.
There's a shot glass. It's fine. I guess a shot glass is an ounce and a half, but. Still.
Only you would know that.
No. A lot of our listeners know that damn shit because anybody that's crazy post-op, like me with 5 years plus, we do some shots and you have to, if you're smart about it, you measure it all out. Make sure you're not doing anything you shouldn't be doing.
All right. Good to know.
Be responsible.
Yeah, true.
Because if you make it this long, still underneath, like, you know, like I got to my plateau
mm-hmm.
and I've sat here.
Your stall.
I'm a stall, so, which is fine.
You sound like you're good with it.
I sound so excited.
Yeah.
But you have to, like, you monitor what you eat. If you realize that you've stalled, then you're like, hey, I'll just maintain. This is what I have to figure out how to maintain.
Yep.
And every once in a while, like, you want to indulge. So you're just mm-hmm. like, I know I can do a shot. Because I went 3 years without drinking.
Yeah.
So not a lot of people do that. They'll wait only the year because of the carbonation thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, no, I went 3 years. So I'm like, dude, if I want a tequila shot...
I'm going to have a tequila shot.
And it's never like 5-10 tequila shots. It's like just like 3 at the most for the night.
And yeah.
I think that's pretty standard. I'll be drinking and like having fun with people for 4 hours. And I've done 3 shots. Like that's not a problem.
Well,
big
but
deal.
Then there's other people.
I'm drinking water the whole time.
Yeah, exactly. But I think there are other people do start drinking really fast after surgery.
I think way too soon.
Yeah.
Way too soon.
I think at least, I mean... I even feel like 6 months is way too soon.
Way too soon.
I'm 10 months out and I have yet to have a sip of alcohol in that 10 months.
Yeah, no, it needs to be a year plus.
Yeah.
And like for me, like I went 3 just because I was like, I kind of was after 2, once I started realizing it, I was like, I'm just kind of a challenge. Let's see how long I can go. And I just went to my 30th birthday and that's.
Okay.
I was in Mexico. You're drinking in Mexico.
Yeah, pretty much.
So I had a great time, but. Now, not like you get drunk quick.
Yeah.
Because that was the thing, was like people, I've already been told this by other people like Tara and my brother, like, you're going to get drunk really fast now because you have such a little tummy.
Yeah.
And everything gets absorbed way quicker.
Yeah.
So just be careful if you are going to drink, because that's a deal. But
yeah.
With me going so long without drinking also was a deal. So one to two shots, I'm good to go. So that's kind of why I like it, to keep it to that as well, because
I'm a cheap date,
man. Easy to please.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Oh, God. So let's see. And then you still do intermittent fasting.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
And it's, you've been doing it
for 2 years now.
Okay.
Yep. 1 to 9 is my frame.
Okay. After 9 and then, or yeah, nothing after 9.
So I start eating at 1 p.m. in the afternoon.
Okay.
And I stop eating at 9 p.m. in the afternoon and in the evening or whatever. So you can do 8 hours, 10 hours, and 12 hour sets. But I chose 8 hours just because I wanted the almost optimal. And that way there's range for error. So if I accidentally went to 9 hours, it wasn't a deal.
Yeah.
Because I'll stay up late sometimes and I'll get the munchies. And so I'm like, okay, I'm still in my window. So this is fine.
It's all about those numbers.
It's a math game for me.
It's all about those numbers, man.
You have to plan. This is the biggest thing I think you've had to see, is you have to plan everything.
Yes.
So like with the liquid diet, when I had to go back to work, you plan out what drinks you're going to have. When you went back to work, you had to figure out, what do I bring with me?
Yep. Like, exactly.
Because you were on solids by then, right?
I was on solids. Yeah. Because I was back on solid foods. So 2 weeks post-op, I had liquid diet. And then the 2 weeks after that was soft poo. Soft poo, apparently. Soft food and puree.
Okay.
So she said, basically, you know, just take it easy. Eat what you can.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't eat it, don't push it.
Yep.
But she kind of let me choose my own path when it came to whether it was a soft food, puree, you know, any of that.
Give me a list of what I could eat.
She was pretty okay with anything. Mm. I mean, obviously stay away from like mashed potatoes and things like that. But I was already so on a carb, no carb mindset that was just where I was at.
Well, and when people really do go into ice cream and potatoes because it's a soft food.
I'm sorry.
Boggles my mind.
If any of you are eating ice cream or mashed potatoes out there at 2 weeks out, no.
Or a month out or 2 months out.
Like, go talk to your nutritionist.
Yeah, that's not good. That's kind of the whole, like the dumping syndrome that happens with people.
Yeah. No, also no judgment if you are, but it's always good to have information.
It's true. We're not knocking it. We've all done it. I just didn't do that early.
Yeah, exactly.
Because my brother did do these things.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and he had the dumping syndrome and how much of a bitch that is.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked me if I ever have. Not once. And I'm not trying to be a dick about it, but it was because I literally only did what my doctor told me to do.
Yeah.
I didn't stray from the meal plan because I was so scared. Yeah. I was so scared of the stitches, and I was scared of fucking up. I was scared of people judging me. I was scared that people would say that, like, I was a walking statistic, that she didn't take it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So I did everything I could to not be judged and be, like, part of that system.
Yeah.
I wanted to be, like, I wanted people to look at me and be like, yes, people like her and they get the surgery. Like, we are good people.
Yeah. And we work hard.
We work really, really hard. And this isn't easy. And I was so frustrated with all the judgment because 5 years ago, it was not the same ballgame that you're in.
No, it was not as widely known.
No. And people would make fun of you for it. They would be like, well, you have to get a surgery to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just go work out. Yeah. I already have dick hole for years.
Exactly. Exactly.
So why don't you mind your own business? Like, I could have hundreds of thousands of medical diseases that can prevent me from losing weight.
Yeah.
Like how you have 4 autoimmune diseases.
Mm-hmm.
It's preventing you from having like weight loss. So it's like, come on, guys. So back then it was like looked down upon.
Yeah.
Like you were a smaller person because of it.
Yep.
Even though we weren't smaller people. It was just ridiculous on how it's ironic. But because now like that I'm smaller, they all talk to me.
Yep.
So
Exactly.
It's ridiculous.
It's
so back then, like, you just did what you had to do and be quiet about it.
Yeah.
You didn't want to deal with anybody like talking shit, and then you have to like get all defense mode. I don't want to do that.
You just would rather not deal with it.
Not deal with it. Nope.
Which is sad that that's what it was for you.
Yeah.
You know?
That's okay.
Because I know. And I think it was good because it really pushed you to do the best that mm-hmm. you possibly could during your post-op experience.
Yes. Yes, it did.
You know, technically you are still in a post-op experience. Mm-hmm. You are 5 years post-op.
Yeah.
And I think it's very admirable from where you started to where you are now.
Yeah. I was so scared to be like gaining all the weight back.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I'm in a weight loss challenge now, is because like I've been gaining like the weight back, but like I didn't realize this is normal, and we're going to touch base on this later on, but mm-hmm. It's normal to gain 10 to 15 pounds post-op when you're this late, and then you kind of just hang out there.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that was a normal thing until you told me. And I was like, well, I'm still going to do this weight loss challenge, and I want to get back to what I was.
Yeah.
I want to get back to I want to give it those 10 pounds, damn it. So
there's nothing wrong with trying to strive to be better.
Yeah. And really all it is, I need to get back to being consistent. Because
yeah.
I did fall off the wagon. Not going to lie. It happens. So
it does. But you didn't fall so far back that you were going backwards.
No, because I put in those things in place, like the intermittent fast, and mm-hmm. helped me maintain without having to work out, because I have a very mentally stressful job. So like, it was hard to even just go home and talk to people.
Yeah.
Because I'm talking all day long with people that are just like, they're in car accidents, and it mm-hmm. sucks, and it's drainful of your body. So I was like, I don't want to go work out.
Yeah.
It's the last thing I want to do.
Yeah.
But I used to do that. So that was the deal, is I just had to get back in the routine. So like, it's all about planning, and I stopped planning, and that's the biggest thing I want to touch on this for post-op, is like, that's your whole life now.
Yeah.
Is planning everything. And planning. I know it gets annoying. It gets so annoying.
For sure.
But if you don't, and you fall off. But all the deal is that you just have to be like, okay, tomorrow then. Don't wait till Monday.
No. Do tomorrow. It now.
Either you do it the next meal.
Yep.
Or you do it the next day.
Yep.
Like, just keep it, you know, that way you can fuck up. It's fine. Just get back on.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. I think it's really hard to, number one, take this big step.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, it's really hard to change your entire life to, especially someone like me, I was not a planner when it came to food or anything.
No.
So going from planning nothing to literally planning every second of your life.
Mm-hmm.
is extremely difficult, but it becomes a routine.
It does. It
so,
does. Just gonna allow it.
You know, just like every morning I have this same routine that I do. I drink my 2 cups of coffee, mm-hmm. and then after that I have nothing but tea.
Yeah.
And that's how I get my water in. So, but I do that every single day. So I have the same routine every single day.
Yeah.
And it helps me get my water intake in, because I'm doing the same thing that I do every day.
You're getting that control back.
Exactly.
That's the biggest deal.
I'm making the decision to drink tea.
Yep.
Not being forced to.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I did want to touch on, too, going back to waking up after surgery.
Yeah.
That first sip of water.
Oh, yeah. How did it feel?
Oh, it was so weird.
Mm-hmm.
It was so weird.
It was really weird.
Like, knowing that you drink a certain way your entire life,
mm-hmm.
and then you wake up and you try to take a sip of water, and it's like you just swallowed rocks.
Oh, mine didn't feel like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, I felt like there was this huge bubble. And
You had a lot of gas pains, though.
I did.
Yeah.
And once that went away, I think the first 24 hours was horrible. Trying to drink.
Mm-hmm.
And it was literally like the tiniest sips ever. And I am a water, like, I chug my water.
Oh, yes, you do. I can vouch
because
for that.
I was like, I don't want to deal with drinking water all day long every day. So I would just chug my water. But.
Oh, you can't do that now.
No. Nope.
Not at all. It's painful. It come back
up. Oh, it's so painful. And I've thrown up from drinking water too fast. Yeah. I threw up. It was too soon after I'd eaten. And then I drank the water too fast.
Mm-hmm.
It was a double whammy. And you learn never to do that again.
Oh, instantly. Because I've only done it once, too.
Yep.
But it was weird because, like, it came up real quick and I just, like, caught in my mouth. I was like, I guess I could just hold this in. Hold on. Let's put this back down here.
Oh, it was so weird.
I didn't know what to do. I was just like, oh. Apparently, I'm like, oh, I just had that way too soon. Like, instantly, my brain was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
So, because, no, my first, like, full, like, mouthful of water was, like, it was nice because I was like, oh, I've been wanting this. And then, but then, like, you could feel it, like, once the dope, like, not dope, but me feeling dopey was kind of gone by then because you're using that sponge the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, I could feel it, like, I can feel my stomach. That was, like, like, with the cold water, you can kind of feel the lining. You can feel
it go all the way down.
Yeah. And it doesn't go that long anymore because you're like.
No.
Because normally you can sometimes feel it go all the way down. It's like a long process. And then like after surgery, it's like 3 seconds.
You're like, whoa. Yeah. You're like, oh, I felt that.
That's quick.
That's cold or that's hot or whatever. Yeah.
And you feel it instantly.
Mm-hmm.
So even today I am hot tea and it like came up and it like burnt. And I was like, oof. Like the lower part of my throat. And I was like, oh, fuck. Drink that too fast.
You're like, that
still
just
happens. Still happens,
that just
guys.
Happened.
So I don't think that it stops.
And then with post-op, you know, right after surgery, I had to take a bunch of pills.
Because
I take my pills, my normal pills every single day, twice a day.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was something.
Were they worried about that because of how small your stomach is?
They were. And so I literally had to take each pill and swallow. So I take probably between 7 and 9 pills every time that I take pills, twice a day.
Jesus Christ.
I had to take each pill separately. And I had to wait in between each pill. Mm. It would take me an hour to take my pills.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yep.
I believe it.
Because you can't take them 2 back to back. Yeah. I mean, you know, we get it full off of pills.
They tell you that.
Essentially. Yep. Yeah. So, and then I waited 2 weeks for the vitamins.
Okay.
So,
how did you do that? So, what, for 2 hours straight, you're just taking pills and vitamins?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Well, and then you do the chewable vitamins, which
I don't like.
Awful.
Yep.
Awful. They're so gross. I couldn't do it. So I would rather just spend an extra 30 minutes taking, swallowing vitamins than to deal with the taste of the chewables.
Yeah. One of the girls at the Revenue gave me the chewables and I was like, no.
They're so chalky.
I brought them to me to my new job, and I've been at my new job for 2.5 years.
They're still there.
Yeah. Because I'm like, I'm not ever going to take these.
They're disgusting.
I will hand them out to people.
There you go. I'll give you some pills. Give you some vitamins.
People tell me, like, because I give out B12.
Yeah. You are a B12 fiend.
Because you need to have it. It's so important.
Which I take it every morning.
You're not getting it in your food, people. You have to take the supplement.
Yes.
It's super important.
Yes. And take it in the morning because it energizes you.
And you can totally fact check me. There's so much data on that.
Mm-hmm.
So important.
Yep.
So, because I feel great. You know how I'm doing this podcast at 9 o'clock at night right now with not being tired? B12.
B12, people.
It's water and B12.
Water and B12.
Literally. Right. Kelly can vouch.
Yep.
That's all I've
had. She's got way more energy than I do.
Yeah. So.
Totally get it.
I want to touch base about vitamins. It's very, very key because I had to do the same thing. So, my first 30 minutes was, I was vitamins. All vitamins. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I knew what you were talking about with that. I can't believe it was your full hour for you.
It's okay. But I got used to it.
You totally do. Mm-hmm. That's the one thing. I just wanted to say, like, just super important. Just take those.
Take
especially in the
your
very beginning.
Vitamins.
Because the whole hair loss thing is a part of that.
It is.
That's the reason.
Yep.
Is dehydration and your lack of nutrients.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Lack of nutrients. Lack of protein, lack of water. And if you take your vitamins, that's 1/3 of that that's taken care of.
It helps because, like, even you were hoping that you would not have to deal with that.
I think every woman thinks, oh, I'm going to be one of the lucky few that doesn't lose hair.
Yeah.
I had it very mild.
Right.
But I still had it. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's pretty bad.
It's frustrating.
It's not fun to brush your hair and have it, like, all your hair fall out into your brush.
Yeah, like, what the fuck?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I went from washing my hair, like, every day to once a week.
Yeah.
Dry shampoo is your savior. because that's
true. The more you wash it, the more it goes away.
The more it falls out.
And yeah. This is what it feels like.
Yeah.
So, and that was the big deal is my vitamin levels weren't the greatest once we realized. Mm-hmm. So I needed more B12 and protein was my problem.
Yeah. Protein is key.
Mm-hmm. And then water.
Yeah.
Water.
I think I drank a lot of protein or I had a lot of protein towards the first 3 months post-op. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what kept my hair not as bad as it could have been.
Oh, like, gotcha.
Losing wise.
So mine was water. Mm. I can get all the protein in. I couldn't get enough water in.
Yeah.
Like I would be so dry, like my hands, my arms, my hair got real dry.
Yeah.
Got real fine.
Yeah.
It took me over the last 2 years to get it to what it is now.
Jeez.
And even my hairdresser's like, you've done some really good work with it. Cause like, it's like drinking like tons of water all day and then like, putting lotion in my hair.
Yeah, which is still so weird.
It's aloe vera. You just put some aloe vera in your hair a little bit afterwards. And just conditioner, like you only wash your hair twice a week, once or twice a week, and just use conditioner the whole time. You still rinse your hair out, and then you just put conditioner on top of it, and you let it sit for a little bit.
So strange.
Because my hair got so dry, I lost all of the nutrients. So by just doing that in the last 2 years, it's shinier, it's healthier.
It is. It looks really good.
Yeah, it's getting there.
I know you guys can't see, but it's
I'm working on it.
Getting really good.
Because I lost a lot of hair and I'm very self-conscious about it. And it's very frustrating. So but
that's another thing is that it literally happens to every single person that is post-op.
Right. And I didn't know that. I don't know that. I thought it was just a deficiency in vitamins. I didn't realize that was just a normal thing that happens for bariatric
surgeries. Well, because your body is going through so much in such a short amount of time.
Yeah.
Not only does your brain not catch up, but your body is like freaking out.
Yeah, it's a shock to the system.
Yeah.
For reals.
And it's not only bariatric patients, it's keto, people that are on keto.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Because you're changing your system so much. And like with keto, you're losing a ton of weight.
So this is a drastic change is the deal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. So it's normal. Try to chug through it because you'll get to the end of the tunnel. You'll get there and it'll be fine. It's just sucks while you're in it for sure. It was not my most favorite time. Losing.
How long did yours last?
I'd say right around 3 months is when it started. And then probably right around 7 months post-op, it stopped.
Okay.
So it was very short for
me. That's a very short time frame.
Because some people it can last up to a year.
I feel like mine did.
Yeah.
I think it did. I'm trying to think. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a constant flow.
In my head, I was just like, when is it going to stop? Because I'm like, I know how many hair, I looked it up. It was like how many new hairs you grow a day and how many hairs a typical person loses in a day.
Oh.
It was like 100 pieces of hair. And I was like, that's a lot of hair. But it's really not because there's so many hair follicles. It's not a thing.
Yeah.
But like, you know how in the shower, like you'll like clear out your hair and there'll be some on your hand, right? Mm-hmm. And you kind of like put them on the wall or whatever you put it on because don't act like you don't put it on. But after a while, you're like looking at the screen or whatever. And you're like, oh, that's a lot of hair.
Yeah, it is.
And I started getting freaked out and I was like, oh my God. But I had to change a little bit of what I was eating though as well.
Yeah.
And that's when I think I noticed it stopping was once I got all my protein levels back up and my water intake to where it needed to be. Because it took a while for me. And I think it's because like once I felt the tightness at all, I'd stop whatever I was doing. Which is a good thing, but I wasn't getting enough water because water makes it tight really fast.
Yep. It does.
Like you only have 2 ounces.
Yeah. I mean, typically, because right after surgery, you're about an ounce.
Yeah.
And then slowly, as your stomach goes down in the swelling and, it's a normal.
It's healing, yeah.
It's a normal size pouch is 3 to 4 ounces.
Right.
So essentially, by the time you're, 6 months post-op, you should ideally be at 2 to 3 ounces.
I felt like. That number for me was later.
Yeah.
I felt like it was more like 9 to 12 months.
I feel like everybody's so different.
It is. It is. Well, also, like, I had liquid 4 weeks after. When you still did 4 weeks, it was just 2 weeks before, 2 weeks after. Mm-hmm. So there's just some little differences here.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And then, yeah.
Was there anything else you wanted to cover?
I did want to touch on weighing yourself.
Okay.
After, post-op.
When did you start weighing yourself is a good question.
I weighed myself in order to keep myself on track.
Mm-hmm.
I weighed myself every single day.
Okay.
And that was my own kind of check every morning that, okay, I haven't gained weight. And I think at the beginning I was so worried that I was not going to lose weight
mm-hmm.
that it was kind of like my mental check of, okay, I've lost weight. Okay, I've lost weight. And now it's just become normal. So I weigh myself. I never stopped weighing myself from the moment I started pre-op.
Oh, so you started weighing yourself all the time pre-op?
Yeah.
Oh,
so okay. With the liquid diet pre-op, I started day one because mm-hmm. I wanted to know what I was at to where I was going to be at for surgery.
Right.
And I just never stopped. I mean, there's certain times, like we went on vacation, I didn't have a scale. So
how did you feel? Did you feel obsessive? Like where you needed that scale when you were out, or were you just totally fine?
I did feel like,
oh, you did.
Well, and it wasn't like I needed it to, I think it was more of like, that was just my pattern.
It was just your habit.
Yeah. And so it wasn't like, but it doesn't make or break my day.
Good.
So if I gain a pound or half a pound or it's still the same as it was 2 days ago.
Right.
I'm still going to have a fine day. It's just, that's what my check is. So I'm like, okay, all right. That was my weight for today.
I'm just happy that you had a positive reaction. You weren't like going to let it ruin your day that you couldn't weigh yourself in. Yeah. Because I think that happens to people.
It does happen. So. It does. And I think a lot of people say that they're like, if it ruins my day, it's time to put the scale away.
Yeah.
And just kind of take a break.
Absolutely.
Because it's not healthy. But I think for me, it keeps me on a good track.
Right.
If it ever becomes a negative thing, it would be needing to change that habit a little bit. But I'm glad, too, that it's more of a positive kind of like, okay, that's where I'm at for today.
Yeah, we okay. So I didn't start weighing myself till afterwards.
Yeah.
And I didn't like I didn't write it even down.
Yeah, no, thinking you didn't keep track of anything.
Mm-mm. I weigh myself in once a week.
Yeah.
I like.
Was it always once a week?
It was every Saturday morning for a while.
Okay.
I like a surprise. I'm not gonna lie. I'm like a little kid. I want to like
surprises.
I like little surprises. And so it'd be nice to be like, ooh, 2 pounds.
Yeah.
Instead of like, because I know myself, I can get very obsessive compulsive. Mm. And so I don't want to like weigh myself every day and then be upset. That it went up and then when it goes down. It went up and goes down. I was already going through an emotional roller coaster in my head. I didn't need anything else added to it. And those were like little happy accidents.
Yeah.
You know? So it was
great. They weren't accidents. You worked hard for those.
I did. But it was nice to like, every Saturday morning I'd check it. And then I would say I did start doing it every day though.
Yeah.
Like that started, I would say, right when maybe a year in. Once I think I hit a year post, because I just stopped going to my doctor's appointments.
Yeah.
After a year. Because, like, you're paying, like, $280 for them to be like, you're doing a good job.
Yeah,
I was kind of tired of the whole, like, good job.
Yeah.
Pat in the back thing. Like, draw your blood. Good job. So,
yeah.
I knew that I was fine. So, I just, like, I'm just going to check myself every day. We'll be fine.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I did. And I didn't have the roller coaster like I thought I was going to have.
Yeah.
It was actually nice to see, like, oh, hard work today really is... You can see it on the scale already.
Yeah.
So that was pretty nice. But then it stopped, after, I would say year and a half.
Yeah.
Year and a half, 2 years. Because they tell you, like, you're going to lose a lot of it in the first, 9 months to a year.
Yes.
So, and I wish I really understood that more
mm-hmm.
because I think I would have even pushed harder in the beginning.
Yeah.
Because I probably could have worked out how I wanted to work out a month earlier and I didn't. And I kind of regret it a little bit because I feel like if I did, then I'd be like just a little bit lighter.
Yeah.
But I don't know that like my body might just be like, this is just kind of where we like to have you at.
Exactly.
And they say that will happen. Like your body will just kind of go, this is good.
Yeah.
Like exactly. You don't need to lose anymore. We're going to keep all of this for you for later.
Yep.
So, which I've come to terms, that's totally fine.
Yeah. So. Well, and you still look and feel great.
I feel good. That's so, the biggest thing. I feel amazing. And I think it's, I always thought that the whole saying like, oh, skinny people are happy, like, was like not really a thing. It was just us being like jerks. But no, it's really a thing. Like, skinny people are happy because we feel good. Because when you are smaller, as long as you are eating a little bit healthier, like, there's a lot of things to be happier about.
Yeah.
So.
And not have to worry about food all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, we still think about food, obviously.
Well, just in general, people are nicer. Like, you don't, I didn't realize that was a thing until 6 months in. No, maybe probably like 9 months in. Once, because I walked 4 blocks to work and back. Like, so it was four blocks there and then 4 blocks back. And in the morning, it was super dark. Didn't really see anybody. But on the way home, as of like 3 months to 6 months to 9 months, I was noticing people were like coming up to me and talking to me or and opening doors for me and just being like, and people would wave to me in other people's cars. Like, it was the whole attention thing was happening. And I was like, this is super odd.
Yeah.
And talking to my brother, we realized that, it's just like, it was nicer to smaller people.
Yeah.
And so like, you have a kind of a better day because people are nicer to you. Like, it's just, it's not just about the food sometimes. It's just like your environment.
Yeah. So. No, that's, it's weird being, because I do notice those things. And the more we've discussed it, the more I notice it versus, and I mean, I was always a sociable person,
right?
But you definitely notice it. Like, people smile more, look you in the eye more. Mm-hmm. You walk into a store, they greet you. Like, it's just it's a whole different experience.
It is. Because when you're bigger, they kind of like, as much as you are invisible, like, to people, like, you are very visible. They just kind of like, oh, don't want to talk to them.
Yeah.
Just keep walking.
Yeah.
And I don't know where that comes from.
I don't know either. Because being overweight, I mean, you're overweight.
Yeah, I know.
It doesn't have anything to do with your personality or the type of person you are, because you could be a bigger person and have a crappy personality, or you could be a bigger person and have a great personality, and it could be the opposite with a skinny person.
Oh, for real.
Doesn't make...
No, they just put us in this box.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest deal.
Yeah.
But I hate being in boxes. So.
She's going to break free.
That's true. I did.
All right. Well, I think that's kind of covered most of our post-op. I mean, we still fight it every day and work as hard as we can. And even you being 5 years post-op, me 10 months.
Yeah.
So not even a year into it yet. But I mean, I just think it's a daily...
It's a daily struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be hyper aware.
And there are ups and many downs. But as long as you keep trying...
It's worth it.
Yeah.
So... That's what I love about it.
All right.
Hey, listeners, if you enjoyed your time with us, please rate, review, and subscribe on any platform you get your podcast.
Check us out on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Join us on patreon.com/OSLP, where you can get exclusive content.
Thanks for listening to Our Sleep Life,
a podcast for patients by patients.